Wake up, everybody. I'm going to have Gary Bird, the Radio Griot, with you. And for the record, so is the coronavirus. It's time for the monthly edition of the GHCC Spotlight on Harlem and the Harlems of the World. In this edition, we invite you to make sure that you and your family are listening carefully, because we have to move carefully in the days ahead. And wake up. Our monthly edition of the Spotlight this morning focuses on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic in and on Harlem and the Harlems of the world. I'm joined this morning by the president of the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce, my brother Lloyd Williams, along with some special guests in the broadcast this morning. It's our pleasure to welcome Michelle Drayton, director of Hospice and Palliative Access and the HOPE Program at Visiting Nurse Service of New York. And also joining us this morning in the broadcast, good to have with us Dr. Ashwin Yasan, president and CEO of Fountain House and an assistant professor at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health and Vagelos College of Physicians and Surgeons. I'd like to welcome all to the program on this Sunday morning. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Brother Lloyd, I'm going to start with you, of course. The need for support continues as we deal with this pandemic event. And certainly with New York now opening up along with locations around the country, we have a couple of health professionals who are joining us to share where we are regarding COVID-19 right here in the city. My brother, would you please introduce our first guest?
Well, it's an honor to introduce to your listening audience Michelle Drayton, who has been in the forefront of health services for many, many years. Michelle represents the Visiting Nurse Service of New York. Michelle is herself a registered nurse with a master's in public health and has spent her career working to develop programs to increase access to health care. Michelle, one of the areas we haven't heard much about throughout this pandemic is the population that needs home care. And it's very clear that that's a growing population. How has the Visiting Nurse Services of New York worked to manage supporting those who need the home care? And also, how are you protecting your staff and caregivers during this pandemic?
Well, good morning, Imhotep and Lloyd. It's great to be with you both and your audience. I think those are great, great questions. As you know, the Visiting Nurse Service of New York really has been on the front lines of healthcare actually for the past 127 years. And during this pandemic, we're actually working to keep New Yorkers and our staff safe and healthy by providing care in the home and in hospital settings. We're providing health care along the continuum of health, from mental health services to our acute care program. So we are prepared. We have enough PPE. Leadership has been working since the start of this pandemic to ensure that whoever is going into the home of our patients know how to put on PPE safely so that they're keeping both patients and families healthy. So from our acute care patients, if you have a chronic disease, diabetes, cardiac disease, kidney, neurological conditions, or perhaps you've just, recovered from, surgery, and you need rehab services, they should not hesitate to contact Visiting Nurse Service of New York for care in the home. And we're also caring for a significant number of patients who are COVID positive. We are very much aware of the social determinants of health and how this disease is disproportionately impacting Black and brown communities. And essentially, we've got two pandemics, Lloyd, as we often speak about, the pandemic of COVID-19 and that of racism coming together in a perfect storm. So our communities need to be protected, and we are there to serve them.
Absolutely. Michelle, thank you so much. Michelle, visiting Nurse Service of New York not only has been focused on the in-home care of patients, but also on the broader community that's been adversely affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you share a little bit about those efforts?
Thank you so much. I just wanted to also stress what Dr. Farjan has been stating about the systems and the systems of care that have been failing us. It's definitely not time for us to let our guards down. We still have to be super vigilant about this disease, understanding that from Native Americans to African Americans, that we're five times more likely to contract the COVID-19 virus. Than whites, and Hispanics and Latinos are four times more likely. We have to keep pushing in terms of shoring up our systems of care. Many of our hospitals are suffering in terms of having, not having the infrastructure. And so social determinants of health is an area that VNSNY is really focusing more on, and that is, in more simplistic terms, where we live, learn, work, and play affects our health and well-being. And so I am running a program called HOPE, which is a program that is focused on ensuring access to care, specifically around hospice and palliative care, as well as really focusing on advanced care planning. How many of us have a healthcare proxy? So if we ended up with, COVID-19 and we're severely ill, we go to the hospital, and before we know it, we've got to be admitted. And in this environment, many of the hospitals are not allowing, your loved one into the hospital for safety reasons. Do you have a healthcare proxy that then states what your wishes are and who you would want the physician and other healthcare providers to contact if you're no longer able to make those decisions and articulate those decisions yourself? So as Lloyd was indicating, in addition to, the government's responsibility, the city's responsibility, we have to make sure that people have access and are empowered to keep themselves healthy and well. And so we're focusing a great deal of attention of getting into the community through the HOPE program and working with organizations like the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce to make that happen.
Absolutely. Michelle, thank you as well. We're going to do this. We'll take a very quick break and we'll come right back. If you just tuned in, it's our GHCC Spotlight on Harlem and the Harlems of the World. Right after this, Brother Lloyd Williams and I will come back with more in a few moments on 107.5 WBLS.
107.5 WBLS.
Let's bring in our other guest to join the conversation. Dr. Ashwin Vasan, President and CEO of Fountain House, and also Assistant Professor at Columbia University's Mehlman School of Public Health at Vagelos College of Physicians and Surgeons. Now, this unit, the first of its kind in the nation, is focused on bringing health care and public health solutions to bear on social systems challenges for specific marginalized populations in New York City that are often overlooked by existing systems. Since 2014, he has been on the faculty at Columbia University's Mehlman School of Public Health, and really in a position to do work where he cares for low-income Medicaid or uninsured patients. Dr. Vasan, as we talk about marginalized populations, like we talked about with Michelle Drayton and those who are at home and who need home care, there are other populations throughout the city who we know have been heavily affected during the pandemic, like the homeless and the prison population, for example. What's being done and what needs to continue to be done to support those populations?
Hi, thank you for having me, and I just want to first say it's a privilege to be invited here and to be able to speak to your community about these pressing issues. you know, I think your question is what's being done? Not enough. And when what we're talking about when we talk about marginalized and vulnerable communities are, you know, people who are chronically homeless, people who are newly homeless as a result of job loss or economic stress due to the pandemic, people who live with chronic persistent mental illness, which overlaps with that homeless population significantly. And of course, as you mentioned, people who have been incarcerated, are currently incarcerated and recently released, and people who are otherwise caught up in the criminal legal system. And, you know, as your community rightly knows, as your listener, your listeners know, this disproportionately falls down on people of color in black and brown communities in our city and in our society. So what's being done for each of these communities is, as I said, not enough, but we know what can be done. You know, when it comes to the, you know, when it comes to the 250,000 New Yorkers, 275,000 New Yorkers who live in, you know, chronically homeless in New York City every day, you know, during a pandemic that's highly infectious like the one we're in, keeping them safe is important to keeping everyone safe, right? You know, we started to already see outbreaks in our shelter system early in the pandemic because those were completely unsafe congregate services. And, you know, we've opened up about 20% of New York City hotel beds to the chronically homeless. But that's a temporary solution, right? That's a temporary solution that is hopefully making a dent in the transmission rates in that highly vulnerable community. But we need to start already talking about more permanent solutions for affordable housing and permanent shelter. No one should have to live on the streets in this society. No one should have to live on the streets in the richest country in the world, and yet we somehow persist with this system where people fall through the cracks. And so, you know, we need to start having some serious conversations about what kind of local, state, and federal relief is going to be available to us to start to talk about permanently housing people who are cycling in and out of the streets. And that has a huge impact, particularly on people living with mental illness who, you know, really suffer and really struggle to engage with community-based services as a result of untreated or undertreated mental illness. I run an organization called Fountain House that really tries to, rather than, you know, focus on punishment of mental illness, which is what our society tends to do, we incarcerate the vast majority of people living with severe mental illness in this country. Rather than doing that, we need to focus on how do we care for people in the community? How do we not only provide them with the basic health care and mental health care we need, but how do we then wrap around services like housing, job supports, income support, benefits arrangement, the kind of home care services that Dr. Drayton was speaking of with visiting nurse services. So, you know, I think we have a huge need for really wrapping around and building services for people who constantly fall through the cracks and are ever more falling through the cracks during the pandemic. For people coming in and out of the justice system, I think we saw very early on and continue to see that prisons and jails in our society are epicenters of the epidemic. And I'll give the city credit that they acted relatively quickly to start to decarcerate Rikers Island because they knew that it was a public health risk to keep people incarcerated. Yeah. But
without a doubt.
The question is, what kind of supports are you going to offer to people in lieu of incarceleration? You can't just...
Let me step in for just a moment. But,
yeah, of course.
We need to take a very quick break. Just hold your thought for a moment. We need to take a quick break, and we're going to continue the conversation. For those of you just tuned in, you're listening to the monthly GHCC Spotlight on Harlem and the Harlems of the World on 107.5 WBLS. We'll come back with our guests and you right after this from 107.5
WBLS. 107.5
WBLS. Well, good morning. Hot, humid, 79 degrees, and still a chance of rain. Welcome back to our monthly GHCC Spotlight on Harlem and the Harlems of the world. With me this morning, Brother Lloyd Williams, President of the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce, and our special guest this morning, Michelle Drayton, Director of Hospice and Palliative Access and the HOPE Program, and Dr. Ashwin Yasan, President and CEO of Fountain House, and an Assistant Professor at Columbia University's Mellman School of Public Health at Vigelos College of Physicians and Surgeons. Brother Lloyd.
Dr. Vajan, you said something that was so amazing, so I'm really going to shift what I was originally going to ask you. We continue to hear over the years about our people falling through the cracks. I think it's time that we all recognize that they're not falling through cracks. They're being pushed and shoved over the cliff, aggressively pushed and shoved over the cliff as opposed to falling between the cracks. And you said something that was so amazing. We say these statistical things and we go past them, but I understood you to say that in New York City, on a daily basis, over a quarter of a million New Yorkers live in chronic homeless environments every day. A quarter of a million New Yorkers. You said about 275,000. So I wanted the listening audience to hear those points. Over a quarter of a million New Yorkers are living in chronic homeless environments on a daily basis in the richest nation in the world, and that we have to stop feeling as if we're the ones falling between the cracks. We're being pushed, we're being shoved, we're being kicked over the cliff. And also, Dr. Vajan, just if you would let us know what steps are being taken to safely reopen for everyone, taking into account all populations of our cities, are now being around each other more and more and more, particularly on subway and buses, etc. What steps are being taken to safely reopen, in your view?
Thank you so much for the question. And, you know, I just want to be super clear. When I quoted that figure, that's, of course, people who live in chronic homelessness. That's single individuals. That's families. That's also people who are experiencing acute homelessness, people cycling in and out. So maybe one day you have a place to stay, the next day you don't. And people at risk of homelessness. But
and you also mentioned the issue of the mental and the emotional illness, which we need to have you come back to speak to us about in greater detail at a future program.
Absolutely, absolutely. That'd be, my pleasure. But I want to just say that that number encompasses everyone who's really at risk of either current or at high risk of being unstably housed or are presently unstably housed. And that, to me, is a travesty in the richest city in the richest country in the world. And so, you know, are we doing enough? We are definitely not doing enough because we aren't tackling our affordable housing crisis in our city and in our country in any meaningful way that has protected us from this pandemic. I applaud the hoteliers who have stepped up and said we're going to open up our hotels to people previously in shelters, but that's just a small slice of the problem. And so we have to do much, much more. And I appreciate your comments so much. You're absolutely right. It's not people falling through the cracks by anything that they're doing or not doing. It's that these systems are failing people, and in some cases, like we're seeing with police protests and law enforcement, they're pushing people through these cracks. They're pushing people, particularly black people and brown people, through these cracks into greater marginalization and greater vulnerability. And that's costing people their lives. And I think what it's incumbent upon public health experts to speak up about not only the virus itself and what it means for our communities and what it means for our economy and our society, but also the fact that systemic racial injustice and systemic racism in this country is a virus, as Dr. Drayton said earlier, you know, is a second pandemic that is really with us and costing people's lives. And you're seeing that bear out in the numbers of black and brown people bearing the burden of COVID disproportionately. And so it's not inconsistent for a public health expert to say, go out and protest. And we understand that there may be risks, though thankfully we're not seeing those risks manifest in spikes of cases. We know that there may be risks, but you're actually protesting the root causes of why the pandemic continues to fall down on black and brown people disproportionately. So I want to just call that out for the listeners to say this is not inconsistent. For anyone asking whether there's any inconsistency, there isn't any inconsistency between sheltering and social distancing and then protesting the very root causes of the pandemic. Your second question was about what is the city doing. I have to say, I've been a New Yorker for about 10 years, or I consider myself a New Yorker now after 10 years, and I'm really proud of the city and how it stepped up in many ways to suppress this epidemic in an incredibly difficult moment when we were the epicenter of the epidemic in not only the country, but at one point in the world. And so the drastic and dramatic actions that people have taken, individuals, communities, leaders in those communities, has been incredible and has led to a durable decline and safe, you know, a much more safe level of cases that we're seeing on a daily basis, which is allowing us to really do a methodical and deliberate way of reopening our society in safe ways. And what are those safe ways? I mean, clearly your listeners have heard this before, but social distancing. Social distancing, 6 feet or more, staying at home unless it's absolutely necessary, or you can minimize your risk by going staying at home as much as possible. These are things that are incredibly important at reducing community transmission of the virus. And so your listeners know that. Wearing masks is not just about protecting yourself. It's actually more about protecting the community around you. We need about 75% or 80% of people to be wearing masks at any given time to see any meaningful reduction in transmission of COVID. And so I'm so encouraged when I'm out on the streets. I see most people wearing masks. I don't see a lot of people walking around saying, it's not for me, it's my right as an American, even though we're seeing a lot of that on TV, you know? And so so masking and social distancing are the things that we can do as individuals. And, of course, minimizing large group gatherings, and as much as we have to contact other people, making sure we're doing that outdoors.
You've been listening to our GHCC Monthly Spotlight with me, Brother Lloyd Williams, as we wrap up our broadcast this morning. Lloyd, in our final minutes, I want to turn to you to share any closing comments you'd like to give our listeners this morning.
Yes, I'll make them three closing comments. One, the listening audience needs to know that seniors and children are still suffering from lack of food, so we invite you to go to the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce .com, GoFundMe, and support our food efforts for seniors and children. Secondly, on this Tuesday, June 30th, our Black Music Month Summit from 6 to 8, saluting Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Nina Simone, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Miles Davis, and others. You can view this live on Facebook. Go to the Facebook page of the Chamber. You can visit GreaterHarlemChamber.com for more information. And lastly, Harlem Week this year will happen August 16th through August 23rd. It will be in a virtual form with our theme, Movement of the People. For more information, call Harlem Week at 212-862-8477 or visit harlemweek.com. And I thank you for all of your continued support. and encouragement. And Imhotep, we love you very much.
Love you back, my brother. And Celia, thanks to our special guest joining us this morning. That's going to wrap up this edition of our broadcast as we set the stage for next week's Wake Up Everybody and Express Yourself broadcast on a Sunday morning right here at WBLS from 10 until 11 a.m. We'll see you next week. That's going to be July 5th, 10 a.m. Our thanks this morning to our brother man at Master Control, Brother Rick Wright, doing his thing. And, of course, in the production chair, Brother Markle Nobles for the GHCC, the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce. Again, for more information, you can visit harlemweek.com or you can call the number that Lloyd mentioned, 212-862-8477. That's 212-862-8477. And as Lloyd was saying a moment ago, we really just can't say enough to all of you in the listening audience who have supported the GHCC Support Harlem Now campaign. Because of that support, they've been able to expand the meals program in Harlem, as you've heard, to distribute personal protection equipment, gloves, gowns, masks, to Harlem Hospital Center. In partnership with Silicon Harlem, literally over 1,300 vulnerable households now have internet access, which is a must in the times we are in. For those of you, again, who want to give support, please go to www.greaterharlemchamber.com. Click the image Support Harlem Now, which will take you to a GoFundMe campaign, and you can make a donation of any amount. Again, for more information, harlemweek.com or call 212-867. We all continue to lose family and friends during this pandemic. Our condolences are going out this morning to those of you who have lost, and also best wishes for those of you who are recuperating this morning from COVID-19. The Goldburn and Bird family, the Sickle Cell Thalassemia Patients Network, and myself, as I mentioned last week, are in mourning over the loss of a truly beautiful spirit, Adama Goldburn, who was the mother of my late daughter, Zakia, who passed away just a little over a year ago, is no longer with us. Our friendship and relationship covered some 50 years and blessed us with grandchildren and great-grandchildren who are mourning with us today. A private homegoing service will celebrate her life next week. And I thank you all for your concern. You can reach me on the GBE line at 212-592-3279, 212-592-3279. Stand by. La Donna is next. We'll see you on the public radio airwaves in the Mind Flight tonight and next week again right here at WBLS. And as I always remind you, life is the ultimate trip once you learn to experience it. And in the end, experience is the best teacher. Stay safe. Keep washing your hands and practice social distancing. Be well, and most of all, be there for each other. And as we always say, GBE, God bless everybody.